Sri Balarama Abhibha Mahamahotavati Ti Ki Jai Nitai Gau Premanande. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Now sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj says, to understand Krishna, we need to understand what is not Krishna. Right. So on the lower level, so many things in this world itself, so many things that could come under the heading of non-Krishna. Gradually we learn to distinguish, discriminate. And Skumaraj says the hallmark of progressive devotion is to convert what is non-Krishna into Krishna. That's in this world. But in the upper world, we also learn how to understand Krishna by understanding who is not Krishna or non-Krishna. And the first non-Krishna, or the first other than Krishna, is Balaram. So then we can say, following Guru Maharaj's line of thought, if we want to understand Krishna, then we'll have to understand Balaram. Radha and Krishna, then we'll have to understand, we can understand Krishna through Radharani and through Balaram and their extensions. That is the way to understand. Krishna has his will. So many times we heard Srila Gurudev say, you know, he sometimes said, the wills of Krishna, like with the S. You know. Depends on the wills of Krishna. You know. Krishna Icha. But Icha Shakti and Icha Shakti Pradhan, to, there has to be someone to do what Krishna wants, to fulfill the will of Krishna. Right? Krishna is, fortunately for us, Anandam, Brahmano Vidyam, the absolute, by nature, Anandam, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, beautiful, Satchit Anandam, full of ecstatic joy. That is his default position. But ever increasing in static joy means his will is the extension of that. Then so many things will have to be arranged to take place to fulfill the will of Krishna, which is that everyone should be in a never-ending, drowning in a never-ending ocean of ecstatic joy. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam punamritasvadhanam sarvatmasnapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. And how mercifully distributed through the Sankirtan movement. But Krishna being infinite, I mean, understand, his will, desire, they're infinite. Who can be, who can fulfill that? Who can be entrusted with the fulfillment of the desires of the will of Krishna? Someone, in a sense, has to be equal to Krishna. Like Krishna in every way imaginable, up to a point, an infinite point. So Balaram, sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj will say, is Krishna's facsimile, right? We most know, I was going to say the modern world, but it's no longer like part of the modern world, is the fax, right? The fax, what does it do? You have an original, and then what's supposed to do is sent facsimile from Latin, you know, fac and simulate means there's this one thing and then this is its copy. It's true to the original. So the facsimile, and that when Guru Maharaj says Balaram is Krishna's facsimile, means he's identical to Krishna. But as we might see, like here's the original and here's the facts, like you know, clever people might go, well, I can see a little bit of difference there. You know, so Krishna looks a particular way. Balaram, although he's practically equal to Krishna in every way imaginable, he looks a little different. We would think from an rational idea, well, if Krishna is the original, then Balaram, then like Krishna would be the elder brother and Balaram would be the little brother because Krishna, you know. Not when you're dealing with the infinite, with Krishna. So Krishna, who's his next, is his elder brother, not younger brother. Ramanuja is the name of Krishna that means the Anuja, Anu Rama, little brother of Rama. He's the little brother. So who, in a sense, although it's simultaneous, is after him? He's the first. That's the inconceivable, you know, Achintya Shakti. Jiva Goswami says, if you're going to try and understand the infinite, starting point Achintya Shakti is inconceivable power. And his pastimes will contradict what is rational. So you have to, jnane prayasam udapasamanta eva, means leave your brain at the door. If you're going to enter this world, leave your brain, your mind, your intellect, check it with the brain check girl, right? Say, here, I have a little slip, I get my brain on the way out. Now you have to leave it at the door, then you can enter that plane. So you can only understand this by hearing from Krishna-loving people, of whom Balaram's like number one. So he wants to fulfill all the desires, the will of Krishna. So what are, and his facsimile is Sankarsan. So I was like, Krishna was the first quadruple, Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradumna, Aniruddha. And if one quadruple expansion wasn't enough, you got two, Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradumna, Aniruddha. Because there's a lot going on in the spiritual world. So Balaram, he's the first other than Krishna, the first non-Krishna, who's very much like Krishna. But he's in love with Krishna, with his little brother. So you might think, being like Krishna and knowing, hearing something about what Krishna is like, that he would be a competitor to Krishna. Not so. Like, besides the obvious Sakya Rasa, brotherly, friendly, there's elements of Vatsalya Rasa and Balavita. Like, he wants to protect Krishna. He's entrusted by Mother Yasoda with the protection of Krishna. Because as we could imagine, if something went wrong and happened to Krishna, we're in big trouble. Right? All the Krishna-loving people. So Yasoda, the way Yoga Maya works, like gonna have to take Krishna away every day to go, that's unthinkable to her. We see like when the children go like first day of school kind of thing, and this intense attachment between the parents and the children, they run back and then they have to, and then they run back again, you know. That's every day. Take that, amplify that to an infinite magnitude, and you have a glimpse of the type of love and affection that Yashoda has for Krishna. And Balaram has for Krishna. The separation is unimaginable. And there are descriptions, primarily interpretation of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. Like, it's a daily occurrence. Remember, they're going to get up every day, eat breakfast, and go herd the cows. But he will say, like, and there are gods assembled, gopis. It's a big, dramatic scene, but very playful. At the same time, like when Yashoda's dressing Krishna and the other cowherd boys come to look at, and they're like get anxious to play, and Krishna, something, take his flute out and like hit someone on the head, and they go, oh, Krishna. Mother Yashoda, stop that. behave. You know, right? And they're like, oh, Krishna hit me on the head with his flute. Right? Did it hurt? No, it felt like beautiful. It was ecstatic. It was an ecstatic inducing experience. Trust me. So then when they have to go, then Yashoda's running, then they have to separate them. They come back again, separate again. It's Nitya Leela. So that Balaram, he's not a competitor of Krishna. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arsa Britya. Kaviraj Goswami says in the Balaram section, foundational section of Chaitanya Charitamritam, Ekala Ishvara Krishna, as announced in the Brahma Sangita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. That's Krishna. Ekala Ishvara Krishna are sub Britya. Everybody else is a servitor. Radharani, on her side, Madhura Rasa, that's another discussion. But everything else, Baladev, Balaram. So he's in the mood of a servant. He doesn't want to compete with him. He wants to serve Krishna in every way imaginable and unimaginable. So his various names, one, Ananta. Ananta, what does Ananta mean? Unlimited. But what does unlimited mean? That's a general term. Right? Unlimited in his service aspirations and unlimited in his serving capacity. Right? Unlimited aspiration matched by unlimited service capacity. So sometimes I think of the love songs and the poetry, and where the person who's so enamored and infatuated with the beloved, and they say, you know, like things like, I want to be the ground, you know, beneath your feet, and the air that you breathe, and you know, they start saying, because they're so infatuated by the other. It's, and in one sense, it's self-oblivion. Self-oblivion is not the same as self-annihilation. Right? There's difference. Self-annihilation, people are like, who are just fed up with existence and suffering and go, it would be better not to, if I didn't exist, I wouldn't have to suffer. That's a very low thing. And undesirable and not a permanent solution to suffering, self-annihilation. Self-oblivion is a beautiful thing. That means to be so lost in the beloved as if to lose oneself, yet you're still yourself. That's a beautiful thing. Right, is what all the lovers aspire for in this world. They say, so lost in the other, as if to they've lost themselves, but still they exist. That's a beautiful thing. Why does the heart aspire for that kind of thing? To be just merged into the beloved, but not to lose one's existence. As once, I was having a, you can say an argument, like a intellectual argument with someone, you know, back in Vaishnava, and they're talking about sannyas, and someone said, you know, oh, Paramadvaita, that's not a Vaishnava name. Why'd Guru Maharaj give that? You know, Aloka, Paramadvaita, Bhakti Allah. Because they're thinking, Paramadvaita means the supreme oneness. Right? And they're saying, that's like a Mayavadi name. You know, in the light of supreme oneness, I mean, what is that? You know. But Guru Maharaj explained what he's saying. What he's saying, Kaivalya, as interpreted by Srila Saraswati Thakur toward the end of the Bhagavatam, he's saying, means nothing is mixed. That's what it means. Nothing is, there's no amalgam there. It's just pure, unadulterated. When the beloved, the lover and the beloved, they're united and one in purpose, yet still have their identities. And he said, and what is the supreme one? So he said, yes, oneness is the highest conception. And what is the highest conception of oneness? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. When Radha and Krishna are combined as one is Sri Chaitanya Dev. He said, so Bhakti Aloka means in the light of the supreme oneness, means the conception of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So it's a very beautiful thing. Self-oblivion. Radha and Krishna lost in one another to the point of where they can't distinguish it, but yet retain their identities. Balaram has that kind of love and affection for Krishna. So he wants to be the floor that he walks on. And he is. With Balaram, it's not just poetry, right? Some poetic expression. He's the asan, simhasan, on which Krishna's throne sits. He's the, when Krishna has the upavit, the Brahmin tent, he's that. We just celebrated the Rath Yatra. And Mahaprabhu tells those devotees, where is it? Kulinagram? Right? That, because he saw that there's ropes for pulling Jagannath. He's saying, next year bring better quality silk ropes, you know, of superior quality. Why? He said, they're Anantadev. It's a form of the Lord. He's the rope by which you can pull the Lord in his chariot. He thinks, that's a wonderful seva. I want to be the rope that pulls the chariot of Jagannath and the rope around Krishna and the cloth of Krishna, the seat of Krishna, the floor on which Krishna... That, so how it gives us a hint, a glimpse of how intense his love and affection is for Krishna. That said, though, being the first other than Krishna, that means for play, for leela, he can oppose Krishna. He can have a different opinion. Guru Maharaj said once, Uddhava was very diplomatic, and Krishna discussing some situation, what would be the best diplomatic solution for that? And Balaram, overhearing this, he goes, what discussion? I just take my club and smash and crush his skull, and then this matter is finished. And they're going, yes, Baladev, we will consider your suggestion. You know, that's Bala, you know, like, I just go in there and smash the opposition for my Lord Krishna. That's his mood. It's very intense. But Krishna and Uddhava, they're discussing some other way. More diplomacy, a diplomatic solution. But Balaram went, well, let me know how that works out because I'm ready with my club. We know when Balaram, this Varuni beverage, he's intoxicated, divine intoxication, and he's singing, he said, I feel so good right now, and the mood I'm in, he said, if I destroyed all the universes, Krishna wouldn't get mad at me. And we could think, Rupa Goswami says, let us pray to Balaram that he will be pacified. But at the same time, we think like, well, if Balaram does that, then we're all like do it. Just do it. But he's saying, I'm so intoxicated with what? Krishna Prem, Preme Mata Nityananda Kripa Avatar. He's intoxicated with Krishna Prem and wants everyone to be intoxicated with the same divine substance. And we're told once that in the state of intoxication, Balaram called for Jamuna and saying, Jamuna, come here. And she's saying, I will not go near him in this intoxicated condition. So with his plow, right, he grabbed the Jamuna and started pulling the Jamuna River and forced into submission. We're told still in Delhi today, you can see little, like, what do you call it, rivulets from the Jamuna where it breaks up, where Balaram was pulling with his plow. But whatever he does is for the satisfaction of Krishna. Arsabritya. When we sing in the song Ramagata, the place where Balaram, in Krishna's absence, he returns to Vrindavan and has Rasa Leela with the gopis. And Sanatan Goswami Prabhu says, this is seva to Balaram. He said, from within his heart, it is an offering to Krishna. That is inconceivable to us, but such is the nature of Baladev. And Ramayana and the pastime of Ramachandra, where he is, Krishna is as Ramachandra, Balaram as Lakshman. We know when Sita was kidnapped and Ravan's taking her through the sky, they're going back to Lanka. Sita is very intelligent. She's a queen. She has so many bangles and earrings, rings, and you know, anklets and things. And while she's being taken, she starts dropping these things, very cleverly leading a path. So if you follow the jewelry, you'll see the direction. So later, when Ramachandra, Lakshman, and with Hanuman and what Sugriv and all the forces, they at this point they don't know where she is. Right? And then they start seeing a path created by her jewelry. And Ramachandra becomes very excited and he realizes she's showing us the direction that we need to proceed. Because at that point they're uncertain, unclear, the path. So they're seeing the anklets, then the, what do you call it? Bangles and jewels, earrings, you know. And Ramachandra, in his excitement, he wants to share the good news with Lakshman and says to him, look, Lakshman, Sita's, you know, ornaments. And when he's showing earring, bangle, Lakshman says, I don't recognize it. I only recognize the anklets, the Nupur. Why? He's saying, because he had never looked above her ankle. You understand? She's arguably most inconceivably beautiful woman in the universe. He never looked above her ankle, so he didn't recognize bangle, earring, all these other things. He'd never seen them. So his Rasa Leela's Balaram, he's offering to Krishna seva from within his heart. Inconceivable, but such qualifications are there. But he can oppose Krishna to the delight of Krishna. Sweet opposition. And sometimes in their play, he's the elder brother, he's supposed to look after Krishna, but sometimes we know when boys play, things get out of hand. One time, Balaram slapped Krishna. Right? Then Krishna goes running to Mother Yashoda. Dadaji, slap me, look! As you see, his lotus face is a little more pink on one side. A little swollen. And you start calling, she's going to chastise Balaram. And later Balaram takes Krishna like, little brother, let's go for a walk and talk. He goes, see, sometimes when we're doing this play, things are gonna happen. And so it's not always necessary when the things happen that you will tell mother. It's like something between us, okay? Yes, Dadaji, you know. You know, it could happen. It could happen again. Then it won't be necessary to run and tell mother about that. Janmadyasya yataha It all comes from there. We think we're the first ones to ever see, experience these things. Whatever is in this world, it all comes from there. How sweet is that world? It's not a black hole. Right? It's a beautiful place. Right? With sweet, you know, Krishna Radhika Kela Sarvatam Naralila Naravapu. Naravapu Tahara Swarup. Gopa Vesh Venukar Navakishore Natubar Naralila Hoyonarup. It's like the Krishna world, Krishna Lila, the Krishna form. It's the template for human civilization. How beautiful it is. God is not some, you know, up in the clouds or abstract and personal. I could right now say something that would offend a billion people, but I won't. Just leave it to your imagination. But I have a strong urge to do that. Vacho vegam manasakrona. It's beautiful. Reality is beautiful. Krishna is beautiful and charming. Right? More beautiful than the lotus being used as a reference. Right? But so Krishna and Balaram, every day they go to the forest, Vrindavan forest, and it's heartbreak for Yashoda and the Brajagopis, Radharani. They can only try to hold out till the evening. But when they go, sometimes the cowherd boys give the news of like, what's and they're saying, there's this one forest, Talavan. It's very beautiful. It's one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. And they have the tal fruit there. And it's so, it's like Mangal Maharaj made some, and my impression, it tastes like mango pudding when it's done right. It's like inconceivable taste. And they're saying, and Krishna, well, and they go, but there's a problem. Oh, what's the problem? And who are the problems arranged by? Krishna Lila is cast and scripted by Yogamaya and Baladev. Things have to go wrong for all for there to be some drama, for all the real sweetness to reach its highest state. So there needs to be something where everything's right, then something goes wrong. Dramatic tension. And they say, well, in that forest, there's this ass, Denuk, and with his ass clan, and they're staying there, and they're kicking out anyone, the local people, we want to go there, and they're like surrounding all those tall palms and preventing anyone from going there and enjoying that. Then Krishna and Balaram, then let us go. And they go and see, and there are these palms with all these beautiful tall trees. And Denuk, who's this big ass, who's the leader of many other asses. Right? It's like democracy. So he's there, and they're keeping, you know, people from enjoying the fruits. At that time, then Balaram, he's very strong. He's like, what do? They shake the palms, and then the fruits come down. So Balaram starts shaking these trees, and the palm fruits are coming down, and Danu's like, what's this? You know, like, he hears the dropping of the fruit, the shaking of the palm, comes out, and see, there's Balaram and Krishna, and he's so angry at the challenge to his supremacy that he comes running and then turns at the end, and then with his hind legs, he kicks Balaram in the chest, because that's how they do it. right, with their hind leg. That's where their power is. Kicks Balaram in the chest and then runs away, and he's braying, making these ass-like braying sounds, screeching. It's not very pleasant. That's why it's called braying. It's not singing per se. And then he's getting ready for round two. And then, you know, he's charging Balaram. He's going to do that same maneuver. Then try and kick him in. And when he kicks his hind legs, Balaram grabs him by the hind legs. And then, like, what is it? There's centrifugal and centripetal. The one that goes outward. Centrifugal. He's swinging him around like that. And while he's doing it, it's so intense. His life air, his everything, leaving the body. And then Balaram throws him into the top of a tree. And then it hits the palm tree. Then the fruits are falling down. Then it hits the next tree. The next, like dominoes, the earth start falling. The fruits start falling everywhere. And Krishna and the cowherd are like, yay, Jai Baladev, you know. But the other asses, seeing their leader in this unfortunate position, top of the pump, you know, they start charging Krishna and Balaram. And there's various descriptions of what happened. Some say that Krishna wants to protect Balaram, so he starts throwing these asses up in the trees and killing him. Others say then Balaram's saying, oh, don't touch my little brother, he's throwing him. But anyway, one by one, they're grabbing these asses, twirling them around, throwing them in the trees. The trees are falling down. The fruits are falling down. And it's a bloody mess. And we're told the asses, they were more like bluish in color. Blue asses. You can imagine they're extraordinary. This is Krishna Leela. Right? But then the blood was red. But somehow the red blood and the blue acid, like they look like blue clouds and then red clouds mixed together, looked very beautiful. The mayhem, beautiful mayhem. And then we're told local people come and they're like taking the fruits, washing them off. Krishna, they go, no, thank you. They free the, you know, like we'll get some on the next round. But local people came and they were enjoying those fruits. And what's interesting, remember Baladev, he's infinite also. Krishna is infinite who sleeps on a bed of infinite. And guess who is the bed? Ananta. Ananta Shesh. He's the bed. That's also Balaram. Veda Vyasa observes and echoed in the commentaries of the Acharyas that Balaram, he's like gravity, he's everything. And just like threads, like when you have a weave on a cloth, we've seen this in India, you know, where they throw it across when you hear them making saris. You've heard that, right? You hear this. So they're throwing so many threads going this way, so many threads going that way, and it creates a weave, right? All the cloth we're wearing is this, to this day, follows this pattern. And it's interesting. So it says, like, that's how Baladev is hold. Everything is being sustained by him. Everything. All the planets, all the universes, everything. And then I thought, oh, like string theory. And they talk about so many strings. I'm saying, like, all right, add some other strings going any other way, and then you've got something. This is a string theory I can believe in that ends up in a weave that's sustaining all the universe and the planets and everything in it. And by the way, it's like a hobby for Balaram. His central function is full of love and affection, extending Krishna prema to others, and his day job, you know, sustaining everything in the universe. So it's just, it's like a sidebar in the Bhagavatam. Oh, by the way, you know, why is this astonishing for Balaram? It's not. He's sustaining everything. He can withdraw that at any time also. such is the case. And as he says, if I decide to, Krishna won't be mad at me, he'll be happy. Then after that, what do? They go home for lunch. Break for lunch at Yashoda Bhavan until the next pastime, Kaliya. And then the next pastime, and the next pastime. It's mentioned that what's recorded in the Bhagavatam, it's just a typical morning in Vrindavan. And why do these things happen? To increase the drama, scripted and cast by Yogamaya and Baladev, to increase the drama, the intensity of Krishna Lila, to make it even more sweet and more tasteful. And incidentally, when we're talking about infinite, also infinite levels of interpretation. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Chaitanya Shikshamritam, he gives allegorical interpretations of the pastimes. It's not to say that they are allegorical or not. Netihasa nikalpana, Bhaktivinoda says, they're not historical occurrences, they're not imagination. You go, oh, then they didn't have, no, they're not imagination either. It's that divine plane expressing itself here for some time. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, in his allegorical interpretations of these pastimes, he's saying, Denuk Asura and his ass clan, they represent, it represents mundane religion and mundane religious administrators. And he makes the point, he's saying, so they're trying to guard the sweet fruit, prayojan of religion. He said, but they themselves cannot taste it. Right? But they're hell-bent, to use a phrase, that no one else will be allowed to taste that, because they're the garters of whatever, right? So they themselves are not tasting that, incapable of tasting that divine substance, but they're going to prevent everyone else from tasting it. He said, so they have to be eliminated. He shows how each one is an obstacle on the path of devotion for the sadhaka, the aspiring servitor, and they have to be eliminated. And he categorized them further. Some one's killed by Krishna, you got to deal with it. The other one's killed by Balaram, means guru, Vaishnav, right? Balaram is the original guru, right? And you go from a thing, is quoting Madhva, but changing the direction in which it's understood. A thing, the substance of a thing, the devata of that thing, right? Guru, guru tattva, the essence of guru tattva, Baladev, Nityananda, and the heart of Balaram, Radha Krishna, Chidlilamritam. So when we sing in the song, He no nitai bine bai Radha Krishna paite nai. No one gets entrance in that plane without the approval, the blessings, the grace of Nityananda. Nitai korunahabe braje Radha Krishna pave. His mercy, his compassion, korun, right? Preme Matta Nityananda Kripa Avatar. He wants to distribute this to everyone. Mahaprabhu told Nityananda, go to Bengal, tell everyone about Krishna. Why? Different reasons. One, of course, that should be done. And what does he do? Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gauranga. Says, take the name of Gauranga, worship Gauranga. Why? I thought he told you about Krishna. Yeah, well, Krishna is not so easy. But if you worship the lotus feet of Gauranga, then automatically you get Radha and Krishna. He knows that. In the presence of Balaram, Radharani has to keep her distance and her inner sentiments in check. And the inverse, right? So there's some, conflict in the science of rasa. They have to, all these things have to be arranged. absence. Mahaprabhu wants to plunge the depths of Radhabhav Sannithai to Bengal. Krishna wants to enjoy in a particular way. Balaram will be in another place at that time. But then someone might think, like, he cannot participate in those sweetest pastimes of the Lord, the Madhura Rasa pastimes? No. Then his, by the agency of Yoga Maya, with the abhiman of Balaram, no participation. But by the agency of Yoga Maya, to become Ananga Manjari. And who are we told here? Little sister of Radharani, then can participate. Inconceivable, not much can be said about it other than that. That's enough. And the Chaitanya Charitamritam, which is an exclusively Madhura Rasa literature, as Guru said, the greatest literature to have ever seen the light of day in all time, all space, all creations. What is Kaviraj Goswami saying? Like, when he told his relative, if you do not have appreciation for Nityananda, then your so-called appreciation for Gauranga comes into question. What is it? Not a fictitious, fictional, right? Bad fiction. Right? And he chastised, and he said, that is the logical fallacy of Ardha Kukhiyanyai, the half a hen. You like the part of the, you accept the part of the chicken that delivers the egg, but not the mouth that needs feeding. Now you say you are a Gauranga follower, but you don't accept Nityananda, then Mahaprabhu rejects anyone who does not embrace his beloved Nithai. In fact, even then, as part of the play, Leela, showing when someone approaches him without you approach Nithai first, then you can come to me. Like that. So that, after Kaviraj Goswami heavily chastised his relative, and we're told that relative went down. Sarvanash was ruined, destroyed on account of this sort of ontological mishap, delusion. That night, Nityananda Prabhu appeared to Kaviraj Goswami in a dream, expressing his pleasure and saying, Krishnadas, I want to give you entrance into Vrindavan. And we're told, swaying, deeply intoxicated with Krishna prema, so many bumblebees surrounding his garland and his lotus feet, and with his divine associates, and his taking the name of Krishna. And he said, now you go to Vrindavan, I'm giving you entrance there. And there, your heart's inner aspirations will all be fulfilled. It's from there, with Nityananda Prabhu's blessings, that the internal reason for the descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world is described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, was expressed. And in the words of Srila Gurudev, I love that one of the Kinkini Kankanarham sloka, talking about the sound of the ankle bells on the lotus feet of Balaram from Garga Sangita, he liked very much. And Nityananda Prabhu, Gurudev, he would say, talk about what Nityananda Prabhu eats for breakfast. Muri, some fried eggplant, other things, you know, and I was wondering, like, how do you know that? But so much love for Nityananda and Balaram. And he would say his way of expressing Guru Maharaj's appreciation, say, "We all know that Guru Maharaj is Rupa Goswami's man." He would say it like that. Sri Rupa Mandiri Pada from Saraswati Thakur, Rupa Nuga Lion, Rupa Nuga Dara, etc. We all know he's Rupa Goswami's man. Then why is he always saying, "Dial Nitai, Dial Nitai, Dial Nitai," and praying for the grace of Nityananda Prabhu? Why? Foundation. Without the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, what Krishna conception can be built upon there? It will not be sturdy. It will collapse without the grace of Nityananda. Strong foundation. On the Krishna conception that is built upon the mercy, the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, is Krishna, how heavy it is. The heaviest of heavy things, that Krishna conception, can only be sustained on the foundation of the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram. So on this day, we pray, as Rupa Goswami said, pray for the grace, the blessings of Balaram and Nityananda, Krishna's elder brother, Mahaprabhu's favorite, the other self of Sri Gurudev, and more merciful than Krishna. He wants to bring everyone in connection with divine love of Krishna. And he has appeared on this day to prepare us for the appearance of Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna Janmasthami. Sri Balarama Birba Mahamahuta Bhati Ti Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.